NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system used by over 28,000 growing businesses. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. netsuite.com/wallstreet, netsuite.com/wallstreet.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, April 28th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Building trust in any new business is hard. It's even harder when that business keeps getting robbed. Yet venture investors keep bailing out new crypto platforms, even after massive heists that have cost their users hundreds of millions of dollars. So will their faith be enough to convince others to keep using those platforms' digital assets? WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter David Uberti joins us to discuss after these headlines. The global chip shortage is limiting the U.S.'s ability to supply weapons to Ukraine, according to the U.S. Commerce Secretary. The U.S. has pledged $3.4 billion in military assistance to Kyiv. That includes 5,500 Javelin anti-armor systems. Those are portable weapons that have been effective tools in Ukraine's defense strategy. But Secretary Gina Raimondo told the Senate yesterday that Javelins require 250 chips or more in their launching systems. At a hearing, Raimondo urged Congress to pass a bill that would boost domestic semiconductor manufacturing. A top Ukrainian official says he believes Russia's ability to conduct offensive cyber attacks has reached its, quote, full potential. The deputy chief of Ukraine's State Service of Special Communications and Information Protection says over the past 2 months, Russia hasn't demonstrated very sophisticated or destructive cyber attacks. He says hackers continue to target Ukraine's critical infrastructure, and that one way to curb Russia's cyber capabilities is through sanctions on technology. The world's largest consumer drone maker is suspending its business in Russia and Ukraine. The decision by Chinese drone giant DJI comes after Ukrainian officials flagged technical glitches in the company's products, saying they appeared to aid Russia's military activities in their country by allowing Russian drones to fly undetected. DJI says it's reviewing compliance requirements in various jurisdictions and that it was trying to fix the malfunctions. A judge has ruled in Elon Musk's favor, saying the Tesla CEO didn't act unlawfully when his electric car company took over the solar panel maker SolarCity in 2016. A group of Tesla shareholders had argued that Tesla overpaid for SolarCity, and that Musk controlled the takeover while having a financial interest in both companies, and that many of its directors were conflicted. The judge found that Tesla's negotiating process was imperfect and Musk was too involved, but the board nevertheless meaningfully vetted the deal. An attorney for the shareholders said the plaintiffs were considering their options. In earnings news, privacy headwinds held back Meta in the first quarter. The parent of Facebook and Instagram reported its slowest revenue growth since the company went public a decade ago. Like other companies that rely on advertising, Meta has taken a financial hit from privacy changes made by Apple that enable users to opt out of ad tracking. Meta's ad revenue was just shy of $28 billion, up 6.6% compared with the same period last year. The quarterly results were better than many investors expected, and Meta's shares jumped sharply in after-hours trading. Crypto firms are pushing back against a proposal from the Securities and Exchange Commission that would broaden the agency's definition of an exchange. It would also require platforms that enable prospective buyers and sellers of securities to register with the SEC as either an exchange like the New York Stock Exchange or as a category of broker-dealers called alternative trading systems. Opponents say that could create legal uncertainty for decentralized finance or DeFi platforms, which could fall under the new rules. The SEC is reviewing the feedback before making a final decision. And Saudi Arabia plans to order up to 100,000 electric vehicles from the EV startup Lucid over the next decade. The Saudi government says it chose Lucid because the company plans to build a full production facility in the kingdom, a commitment it made after receiving $1 billion in funding from the Saudi Public Investment Fund. The government added the decision was in line with efforts to make its fleet more environmentally friendly and diversify the national economy away from oil. All right, coming up, investors are bailing out new crypto platforms that have suffered major hacks. Why are they doing it? We'll discuss after the break.
Over 81% of consumers are opted into text messages from their favorite brands. And that's where Attentive comes in. Meet Attentive, the company helping thousands of innovative brands connect with their customers through personalized text messaging. Attentive's text marketing platform allows you to grow your subscriber list, interact with customers in real time through two-way conversations, and drive more revenue. Brands who use Attentive see $55 in sales for every $1 they spend. See what Attentive can do for you at attentivemobile.com/WSJ. Attentive. Drive sales with text marketing.
There have been a lot of high-profile and large crypto hacks lately. We've talked about some of them on the show. To name a few, a platform called Beanstalk was drained of $182 million worth of digital assets. Another called Wormhole lost $320 million. And hackers stole the equivalent of $540 million from users of the play-to-earn game Axie Infinity. And while those are big losses, investors in those companies don't seem to be running for the hills. In fact, some are doubling down, reinvesting in these platforms and reimbursing users who lost their digital assets. So, what's behind this demonstration of faith? Joining us to discuss is WSJ Pro cybersecurity reporter David Uberti. Hi, David. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
So, I've mentioned a few platforms. These are just some of the targets, but they've also been ones that have tried to bail out their losses. How was that money being used?
So in all of these cases, you know, as you laid out, you have these Ocean's 11 size security incidents, hundreds of millions of dollars stolen. What platforms fear with that money disappearing is that users who actually use these platforms will not only lose the value that they have staked in those platforms, but also lose trust in the platform themselves and essentially go somewhere else to do their crypto trading, play a different game, etc. So in some of these cases, increasingly so, you have these platforms either turning to their owners, their investors, or even their community in the hope of really collecting this money for a very quick bailout, returning that money into users' hands, and theoretically restoring trust in the platform in the hope that over the long term, you could actually persevere despite some of these hacks or heists.
If the reason investors are putting more money is to build up trust and keep users on the platform, do we have any examples that it's worked, or is it too soon to tell?
I mean, it's too soon in a number of these instances, which are just a few weeks old. But in addition to that, I mean, there's also, with all these hacks, it sort of creates this weird macroeconomic experiment within each of these platforms, right? You have the hack, you have this crisis of user trust, and that could put downward pressure on the prices of a lot of the cryptocurrencies on these platforms. And these platforms depend on having higher prices. They want people to invest. They want demand to be higher. So one of the ways to at least artificially and temporarily inflate those prices is to put more capital back into the system with these bailouts.
And how are the platforms actually raising that money?
Well, there's a few different ways. You mentioned Wormhole. Its owners, you know, collected and invested $320 million worth of funds in just a day in February. Earlier this month, you had Axie Infinity. It raised $150 million of outside funding from venture capitalists and other cryptocurrency firms. And then with the case of Beanstalk, which is sort of an upstart lending platform, a decentralized financial organization, they're actually doing something very similar to sort of issuing bonds. They're basically selling debt to people in their community or potentially venture capitalists or other investors outside the community under the promise that they will be able to repay that debt to them over the course of time. And their hope is that if they can raise, you know, the amount of money that was stolen from them, they can essentially use that to repay some of the victims of the hack itself. If they don't, if they raise, say, 90% of what was stolen, everyone will take a 10% haircut. So it's really to be seen exactly how that plays out.
I mean, we know there were flaws in the systems of these platforms that got hacked, different ones for the different platforms. But how confident are investors that these issues have been patched and that, you know, they won't have the same kind of theft happen again?
It's sort of hard to get a read, having spoken with a lot of these investors over the last week or two, most of them view these situations as sort of the cost of doing business. They see, you know, crypto or decentralized financial platforms as this sort of bleeding edge technology, and these startups or these developers, you know, really going into uncharted territory. So it is the situation where they are considering this a risk of these projects and baking it in to some of their projections. And, you know, having said all of this, a lot of these folks have invested in crypto for a long time, particularly over the course of a bull market in crypto over the last couple of years. So it is just worth pointing out that many of these investors that are footing the bill for some of these bailouts, you know, they clearly have vast sums of money to put into this ecosystem, and they are very much invested in it in the long term.
Is there concern, though, that it might set a dangerous precedent? I mean, they're putting more money in. We know that there have been larger hacks than there were in the past few years, even as the kind of rate of hacks continues to stay about the same. Will having investors put more money in attract more of those crypto thieves?
I mean, it goes without saying that there's a lot of money sloshing around in this space, both from small investors who've taken a lot of interest in crypto. Then over the last year or so, the amount of venture capital money flowing into this space has just exploded. So even without these big bailouts, you have an amazing target for some of these hackers. And that could be, you know, your run-of-the-mill criminals who are going after some of these easy-to-crack financial systems, or it could be, as was the case with Axie Infinity, a North Korean-linked hacking group that actually made off with more than $500 million. So it does suggest that investors don't care in a sort of macro sense that these incidents are happening. But in the grand scheme, it's a small amount of money compared to the gigantic wave of investment coming into this space, both from small and institutional investors alike.
Is there a big push then by investors to make this market more secure, to sort of patch the holes generally so they do stop losing money or stop potentially throwing good money after bad?
It seems kind of unclear. When I spoke to a few investors about their, say, their backing of Axie Infinity, the startup behind that Sky Mavis, you know, they can conduct some due diligence before putting this money in. They can ask certain questions about security. But they also say at the same time that this technology is happening so fast that it sort of reduces the extent to which those due diligence questions or an audit of some of these technologies' codes could even be useful.
I mean, VC investors tend to be making the riskier bets when it comes to new technology, but are we to assume that in this case they're making an even riskier bet, that they're not kind of looking as deeply as they might have in other technologies, or is this just kind of a risk of playing the game that they do?
I think it's kind of the latter. You know, when you talk to people who invest a lot in crypto, they really embody this term FOMO, or fear of missing out. And they sort of tell you when you ask this question, you have to be okay with any of these investments going to zero. That's sort of table stakes when you're investing in cryptocurrencies. Either as an individual, say, I buy Dogecoin, and it is a super volatile market. And that also applies to investing in some of these startups, or maybe buying a big chunk of a token offering from a platform like Beanstalk or what have you. So I think when you sort of get into the mindset of people who are throwing money at this space, they really expect there to be volatility.
All right. That's our reporter, David Uberti. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.